The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Our God is faithful. Glory to God. You might be seated. People should now come and see that. What is the problem? Hallelujah. I should have done this at the end of the message. Problem now is they don't even want to stop. Okay, my topic today is Hallelujah. You're welcome to the special edition of Singles Connect. Relationship class, whatever they call it, dinner. You know, I say, what is the dinner? I will serve you the word, don't worry. Some of us have been here since Thursday, and I really celebrate you for that. I want to say, if you are running a business, pray to have the kind of clients that I have as church members. Yeah, for real. Loyal and can sacrifice. Amen. For their own good. They can sacrifice for their own good. Amen. The thing about it is, this is church. So this is basically voluntary. Nobody is forcing you. You are here because you want to get better. And we are all going to get better. Amen. I'm happy that this edition, there are no changes on the table. Because the last one wasn't funny. The last one, they are teaching on the table before opening prayers, and we are done. And I know those tables. I was standing here. Hallelujah. Why I ask that all of us attend this particular edition is because this is not really Singles Connect as we know it. This is a class, a teaching, a session that would help you in whatever relationship you are into. Relationship with your spouse, with your friend, with your pastor, with everyone. I'd like to start by letting you see that relationships, I've been saying since we started this conference, is a major part of your success in life. A major part. If you do not know how to manage relationships effectively, you are going to fail in life. No matter how much assets that you have, or sort of how much anointing or grace or money that you have, if you've not mastered how to manage relationships, because some people wonder, why wouldn't some things that we do? We hold classes like this. I thought this guy is heavily anointed. So they think when there is church, we just have to do some fire move and power move and do heal the sick. That's not all that makes a strong Christian.
You must learn to manage your relationships very well. If you look into everyone that ever succeeded, they learned to manage their relationships very well. Whether in business, in career, in ministry. If you mismanage your relationship with your spouse, your home is going to suffer. If you mismanage your relationship with your boss, you will suffer at work. If you mismanage your relationship with your friends, you will be lonely. If you mismanage your relationship with your pastor, there will be a vacuum because he will stop blessing you. If you mismanage your relationship with people, even as a pastor, if you mismanage your relationship with your members, you will suffer for it. So it's important that you learn how to manage relationships. So what I'm going to teach you, apply it to any part of your relationship to work. Because basically, all what we call marriage classes, relationship classes, and all of that, are basic laws for maintaining relationships everywhere. And God is going to help you to see how to do this. So I will not be opening much of scriptures this evening, but there are principles that sustain relationship. As a matter of fact, if you go to Bible school, some Bible schools and ministry schools, one of the things they teach you is to learn how to maintain relationships with people. For instance, if God has called you into itinerant ministry, that is traveling around to go and preach, one of the wisdom that God needs to give you, if you're going to stay strong in itinerant ministry, is how to manage relationships. That's the way you manage relationships with your hosts, you will never be invited again. No matter how anointed you are. And as he's not inviting you, others will not invite you too. That's the way you manage relationships, you lose access. I get the point. Let me tell you what I've observed. 70% of people who are working in big companies today got there by recommendation. You know what I'm saying? The reason is this. When big firms are recruiting, it's not on newspaper. You know what I said? When you see it on newspaper, they are done recruiting. It's just formality. I feel I'm talking about. So the only way you will know that recruiting is that somebody told you. Are you following me? Most times, I'm telling you, 70 or 80%. That's one that I think are about to graduate. You're going to get a job. Maintain a relationship with friends now. It might be a friend in third year that will tell you that they're recruiting somewhere. He doesn't need the job, but he knows about the job. I get what I'm saying? Most times, I pay attention. When I see people in different places doing well, you know, I was somewhere yesterday. I saw one of my friends, an old-time friend, and he was working somewhere. And my wife was like, that's a very big firm. How did he get jobbed there? I told him, don't worry, I know his father and his mother. And it's not far from the truth. Because the first question is not whether he can get a job. It's, do you even know there's an opening? Are you even aware that they're recruiting? Are you following me? So if you're careless with how you handle relationship, that's what I'm going to say to you. It's good to be in love. But all there is about managing relationship is not all about you and your spouse. There are many other people you need to learn how to manage your flow with. Amen. I said amen. That's why sometimes there's something about depositing money to people's emotional bank accounts. Yes. That is a way to get access to people. People just about deposit money to their bank account. Access Bank, Zenith, and Keystone Bank. Amen. But there's something about depositing money to people's emotional bank account. Where you do things for people, and that, you don't do this to win people's favor, but the way you do things for people and interact with them, when there's an opportunity, they cannot not call you. They can't deny you certain things. You know, I've been telling people, manage your relationship well. Now, I've said this many times. You are 3 or at most 4 people away from any human being you want to meet on earth. Including, who is the farthest person? Including, who is the U.S. president now? Joe Biden. The only question is, the people that will link you to those persons, do you have a good relationship with them. Who is the most outrageous person? Think of, you want to meet, who do you want to meet now? Oh, my God. You want to meet Elon Musk, wealthy guy. There might just be one person in this church. Now, I'm telling you, who knows a senator or a minister? Not church minister. Now, who knows a minister in the country? Is there anyone here that knows, that has a close flow with any minister or senator? If there's somebody like that, that person might just know somebody that knows another person, and before you know, you're still with him. The question is, the person that knows the person that knows the other person, do they want to give you the access? That's what I'm saying. I'm a pastor, and I can tell you, mention any man of God. I have any man of God in this world. I have just two steps, to meet the person. Two people I can meet, and I'm with whoever you call on it. The question is, those people that I have as the connect, do they want to connect me? You know, it's not about having the governor's number. It's whether he has your number. Because you have a governor's number, you can call and he will not pick. You know, it's very easy to get President Tinubu's number. It's whether he will not pick. So, does he have your number? Have you serviced that relationship? There are some of you actually that complain about your uncles who don't remember you, who don't take care of you, and you don't call them except when you need money. You know what is happening? You are not managing and servicing that relationship. It cannot service you. It cannot. Say amen. So, I've said a few things, but I just want to give you things that will help every and any relationship work. Hear what I'm going to say. I titled this message, Be the Mr. or Mrs. Right. Be the Mr. Right. Be the Mrs. Right. I want to show you basic virtues that will make any and every relationship work. Things that once you cultivate in your own life, whether it is marriage you are doing, or boyfriend and girlfriend you are doing, or pastor member relationship, any relationship God has brought into, that is a way to make it work. There are basic virtues. Relationships work because the two parties are ready to make it work and are ready to be the right people. You know what the most frustrating relationship to be into is? When one person wants to put in the work and the other person doesn't want to put in the work. Everybody's praying to marry Mr. Right. Everybody knows what they want in a relationship. What do you want in a friend? You can list it. The question is, are you what your friend also wants? What apart from wanting Mr. Right, are you Mr. Right? Are you Mrs. Right? I heard my small ask this question many years ago. He said, can you marry you? With how you are and everything you know about yourself, think, can you marry yourself? Someone exactly like you. With all your inconsistencies, how wicked you are, that way you are, can you marry your... Say they regret another person that thinks like you, talks like you, is insensitive like you, looks at people just exactly like you. Will you cope with the person? No, will you? Will you be able to cope and manage the person? Now, yet you want someone else to manage you. So you see, relationship success starts from you being Mr. Right. Be the right person. And then we can talk of attracting the right person. Now, when I'm teaching today, I'm not calling for sinless perfection. But I'm saying there are virtues you must cultivate. As a friend, as a spouse, as a member, as a CEO, as anything. If your relationship with people will eventually work. Amen. I said amen. If you don't have it, you'll find out that people will come into your life and they will stay for some time and they go. You'll find out that important people will come into your life and spend a few time and they go. And you notice it. And I've heard people tell me that. People tell me things like, I know how to attract important people, but they don't stay. They don't stay. And if you are like that, now, hear this. If one or two people came into your life and left, it's a different case. But if every important person that comes into your life eventually leaves, everybody cannot be the problem. You have to ask yourself, are there things I need to fix? Because, for instance, I've heard it many times, there is no love in marriage. There is love in the individuals who are in the marriage. If there is no love in those individuals, there cannot be no love in marriage. There is nothing. Now, it is what is in me and what is in her that eventually makes up what is in the marriage. If we are not lovable people, there cannot be love in the marriage. I know what I'm talking about. There is no, in our marriage, there is peace. No. I have to be peaceful. She has to be peaceful. Then two peaceful people come together, then there is peace. It's not the marriage that creates the peace. It is the individuals that bring what they have into the marriage. I follow me this evening. So it's not just enough to, you know, say you want the right person. What kind of marriage do you want? I want a marriage where there are no quarrels. I want a marriage. Talk to me. What kind of marriage do you want? Huh? Where there is no quarrel. What else? Where we don't keep grudges. But yet, you're a grudger. You grudge for a living. But then you want a marriage where they don't keep grudges. It cannot work. It starts by being the right person. Are you following me? Glory to God. So what you want in your relationships is what you are. It is what you are eventually that you're going to bring in. Do you know what I've observed? Now, this is not to make an excuse for anything. But most times, when the wrong person enters a relationship with the right person, he brings out the worst in that right person. Do you know somebody can be very peaceful and meet someone that is very quarrelsome? And the person will quarrel with you so much until a quarrelsome part of you never knew existed will emerge. I know what I'm talking about. A person can do so much that there is a hidden part of you. You now become a market woman. Sometimes you sit down and ask yourself, how did I ever become like this? Because actually, people form people that are relationships with. I told a couple that came to see me, I said the couple, I'm still saying it today. I said, everything I complain about your spouse, was she like that when you married her? If she was not like that when you married her, and she was not like that after you married her, she was not like that for a very long time. You know, some people can pretend. This is not pretense. She wasn't like that 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and somewhere along that she suddenly became like that. Check whether there was something you did to turn her into that person. Because, see here, someone is an accommodating person. She takes all the nonsense. But then you keep pushing her. Eventually, one day, you're going to keep pushing her until something will emerge. That thing you are looking for, you will see. And when you see it, don't complain. Are you following me, friends? When it appears, don't say, how did it become? You have changed. Well, you were the creator. You kept creating. It was Eve, or be Adam, that named Eve. It was Adam that defined Eve. It was Adam that said you are the mother, you now should be the mother of all. It was Adam that said she shall be called Eve. It is men that create their women. I follow what I'm saying. So you want Mr. Right in whatever friendship, please be the right person. I have a few things to say today. I'm just at the periphery yet. Amen. A brother is saying, I can't stand a dirty environment. If I marry, she must clean up everywhere. Are you the one talking? Like you're the one talking. No, you should be ready to stand it. Now, there is something about, because there are some people you should not be in a friendship with. People who have a problem and who don't actually want to change. They want you to change, to adjust to their problem. Now, that's not friendship. That's manipulation. They want you to change. This is how I am. So I'll adjust to how I am. What about you adjusting? I'm adjusting, you adjust. So we'll meet in the middle. Are you following me? So friendships work because the two parties are ready to put in the work and the two parties are ready to be the right people. The first virtue that will make every friendship work, any relationship work, is vulnerability. The ladies, I addressed this with you. Do you remember? Vulnerability. Now, there is no friendship or relationship that can work if one person is not vulnerable to the other person. What I'm trying to say is this. People that have trust issues rarely succeed in any relationship. People that have trust issues rarely succeed in any relationship. So, every relationship thrives on vulnerability. You must be vulnerable to the other person. That's why I was saying at the Perfect Lady meeting, if you have been hurt in the past, and people broke your trust in the past, people betrayed you, heal from that. If not, it will affect every relationship you go into, because once you enter, something that will be lacking will be vulnerability. And because it is lacking, all the time, you will be acting in certain ways that will scare people. Who wants to be in a relationship with someone that has trust issues? Amen. So you see why many relationships are not working, marriages and all of that, because that is trust issues basically. Who are you talking to? Who is that person? How can I trust you? Now, I'm not going to say you should be vulnerable to everybody. And I was saying that to you guys on Saturday. Was it Saturday? That's yesterday, right? You can't be vulnerable to everybody. You can't just let your guards down towards everybody. But if you are not vulnerable towards anybody at all, not everyone has a problem. You have a problem. And once there is trust issue in a relationship, in any friendship, it will break down sooner or later. That's why if there are hurts and people have betrayed you, deal with those hurts. Everybody is not after your life. Everybody is not wicked. And one of the things I told the ladies I'm going to say to you guys, please deal with the ideologies that are formed in your head as a result of broken trust. Ideologies like everybody is the same. All men are the same. Every man is cheating. Last, everybody got your breakfast. It's a matter of time they will show you shaking. Deal with those things. Because what it means is that is basically a trust issue. Are you following me, friends? So whatever happens, you will carry it into whoever you meet, into every relationship you get into, even pastor member relationship. So you know, when you are following a pastor and you have trust issues, you can even misinterpret whatever the pastor is doing. I've seen people that follow pastors. If the guy is preaching and gets emotional and lies down and starts crying, they say, he's crying. So that the whole church will think that he's passionate. The problem is, when there is trust issue, you can misinterpret anything and everything said to you. Because you don't trust the person. So there is that. Of course, don't be vulnerable to everybody. But there are one or two persons that you should be able to trust in your life. Now, I was telling the ladies, if actually people broke your trust, what do you do? Learn from your mistakes. What are the things you did wrongly? For instance, maybe you rushed trusting them. I know what I'm talking about. You know, you shouldn't rush trusting anybody. You shouldn't bring anybody into your space too quickly. So, Father, did I rush it? But after all of that, make sure you never come to a point where you are no longer vulnerable, where you can no longer trust people. You have a problem with everybody, then everybody has a problem with you. You are the problem, not everybody. Amen. Pastors too should not have trust issues. So that you stop working with the spirit of suspicion. There are pastors that don't work by word of knowledge, they work by suspicion. The way that one is working, I think, the way those two brothers are talking, something is going on. Who told you? It's because there is trust issue, so you are suspecting everybody and everything. Amen. So don't be scared of vulnerability. Deal with your trust issues. If there is vulnerability lacking in any relationship, it's not going to last. It will crash. I've handled this already. Secondly, what other virtue makes every relationship work? Honesty and sincerity. Nobody likes liars. Colossians 3 verse 9 tells us, lie not one to another. Lie not one to another. Sincerity makes every relationship work. One of those days, I think it was a pastor that told us, he said, and this is very serious, he said, the unpardonable sin in spiritual fatherhood is insincerity. And it's actually true in many relationships. You see, a pastor can accommodate you if you steal money. He believes in you. You did this, he believes in you. You know what a pastor cannot take? You stole money and you lied that you stole the money. That way, he cannot even help you. You are with your doctor. You have a pain at the back. You say, where is the, you say, where is the pain? He say, there is no pain. Doctor cannot help you. That's why if you are here and you have a culture of lying to people, it's a matter of time. You will damage that relationship. You will. You have a culture of lying to your husband, lying to your wife. You will damage it very soon. I cannot count how many times I've had to intervene in relationships where there is no sincerity, no honesty. It can make a good person a bad person. Say the truth. And like we said when we were small, and shame the devil. Say the truth. So, every relationship where there is lying, where there is insincerity, where the whole truth is not said. Let me give an example. A lady can marry a man that has a child with another woman. Do you know? What the lady cannot do is to marry that man without knowing that he has a child. Two of us. That's the problem. So it's not really that you had a child. The question is, why am I not aware that there's a child in the picture? Are you following me, friends? That's why if you are struggling with insincerity, you are not an honest person. Not just to your spouse, because some people don't understand. People say, don't worry, when I meet my guy, I'll be sincere. If you're a liar, you will carry your lie into a relationship. You lie to your friends. There are people that can't give you business deals because they know you will not be sincere about them. Because they know, because from their interaction with you, you're already a big liar. Over small what you're telling lies. Do you have friends? Don't point them. But you can't really trust them because you know they are not sincere with their words. How close do you keep those people? Can you enter business deal with those guys? You know, there are friends that you have. If somebody said, guy, that deal where we run, that your remaining 2 million naira, I want to give it to this guy. You say, no. Don't give my money to him. He will tell stories. Insincerity. You can't be trusted. Not honest. So every relationship must work if the both parties are sincere and honest. What was the sin of Gehazi? It was not just about going to collect what Elisha said he used to collect. It was the fact that he lied about it. Where have you been? I've been here and there. What was the sin of Ananias and Sapphira? Lie. They lied about it. Peter said to them, when you had that land, it belonged to you. After you sold this, the money belonged to you. When you chose to bring this amount, it was still your choice. Why then did you come here to lie that this was everything? Some lies are unnecessary. It can break relationship with a mentor. It can break relationship with a father. And let me say something to you. Hear what I'm going to say. You are not too smart. Once you're a liar, you must be caught. You know what I said? You must be caught. If I let me say something that will shock you. You might have been caught. Just that person is still pretending like he doesn't know. Seller. Seller. There are many people that are lying to you now. You know they are lying to you. But you are just there. Do you have people like that in your life? They are playing around. They think they are fooling you. There is one masquerade in Osuka. Amen. And there is one slogan. I don't know that slogan. He uses it, or it uses, because they say that spirits. Our spirit is in Asuka, sorry. We just look at it and say, he couldn't be in the leg. Do you know what that means? You are hiding, but I'm just watching you. Just like when I do hide and seek. Imagine you watch somebody go hide. His leg is showing. And he's hiding very well. And you're watching. Most times when you're telling lies, that's what you're doing. You cannot be that smart. You can't fool that person for a very long time. One day, the person will know. A wife was telling me about the fact that her husband was cheating on her. So I was like, no now. How are you so sure? She laughed. But by the time she brought out evidence, I just thought that sometimes, when all this you are doing, they will catch you. Or they have caught you. She had been aware for almost 7 to 8 months. With evidence. Room number, dates with girls, the names. She had all the details. And she told me, I said, why are you looking? She said she wasn't stressing to find them. She can be washing his clothes and see things in the pocket. Trying to get things in the car. See things. So there were evidences everywhere. But the man was still playing smart. Lying will destroy relationships. Insincerity will destroy relationships. If you want to last your relationship, please, if you get back, go and apologize and be a truthful person. Be a truthful person. Personally, I can tell you, as a father, as a mentor, anybody you know that week, I can't trust his words, I don't think my wife knows. I can't take the person serious. Sometimes somebody may come up in the house and say, don't worry, leave that person. We can't do stuff with him. Say why? Say he doesn't say the truth. That's me. Once I notice you are like this, you can say one thing to one person, say something to another person, different is different people. I can't take you seriously. Because I can't even trust, I'm not even sure that what you're telling me now is true. So why should I trust you? So I don't have forgiveness. I forgive people actually. I'm coming to that. But I'm saying if you have a continuous, repeated lifestyle of lying, you shouldn't be anybody's friend. Amen. You know, there are people that lie. Have somebody ever lied to you for no reason? And when he's done lying, you're wondering, why did he lie? It's not like saying the truth would have had any consequence. Has it ever happened to you? He just lied. For no reason. And God will help you. Begin to pray. How do I fix it? Every time you catch yourself lying, go and say the truth. I'll tell you how to fix it. Because some of you have lied to a point that you don't even know when you lie. No, for real. It just comes out. If you're in that category, once you've told the lie, you catch yourself, go back. And go and say the truth. I've had to deal with a case of someone that was being accused of a crime, which obviously we found out she did not commit. But it was difficult to believe. Because in the process of the questioning, she has told some other lies in the process. So by the time we found out other things were lies, eventually I found that she didn't commit that crime. But there were other things around that she had lied about. So I said, so why should I believe you? Since I swear to God, I said, forget that one. Because even liars swear. In fact, let me tell you, most times when you are fighting so hard to convince me that you are saying the truth, I know you are lying. There is no point to fight. If it's true, it's true. If it's not true. And you see, I've learned something. Whenever I'm having issues or people are saying whatever, I always tell them, you see this truth, you can't hide it for long. It will show. You can't hide the truth. One day, people will find out. That's why, you know, lying is not only about what you say. It's also about what you do. Hiding information. One of those days, you know, and this is me, I told someone, praise God, glory to God. I told someone, sometimes it's not about what you say. Sometimes it's about what you did not say. I got what I'm saying? It's about what you did not say. The things you avoided talking about. The things you should have said that you did not say. So you must deal with lies and you must be honest and sincere. Do not withhold necessary information from people who need them. Are you still here? Number 3. Kindness. Kindness. Everybody wants a kind person. And I'm really going to advise you, if you're going to marry anybody, please marry someone that is very kind. Kind people, you know, when someone is kind, there are things, but that kindness can be a restricting force. Even when the person is not happy, when the person is sad, but because he's kind, there are things he cannot do to you. Not because you are right or you are wrong, but because the person is just a kind person. Kindness is listed in Galatians 5 as one of the fruit of the Spirit. So kindness, things like empathy, going out of a way to show someone that you care. Must be a kind person. Amen. I said amen. Husband hurts the wife so much to the point that she purposely poisons him. The person is not a kind person. That's what I think. It's not kindness. It's not about what they did to you. Let me tell you, whatever they what you did, it's not always a function of what was done to you. You must learn to practice kindness. Be kind one to another. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another. I won't say much about that. Kindness. You must practically, you must deliberately practice this. Deliberately. Think of ways to show kindness to your neighbor. Think of ways to extend kindness to your neighbor. How can I be kind to this person? I'll still come to generosity. But you see, the major thing in relationship that relationship working is kindness. And kindness starts from thoughtfulness. That it crossed your mind to do this to me or do this for me. So the man, the believer who is in a relationship must be kind. If you're a boss, it's good to be firm and to be stern. But be a kind boss. If you're a kind boss, your people can go all the way out for you. A kind boss is not actually a weak boss. I'm not saying if somebody does something, not discipline person. No, you can discipline people. But be a kind boss. Be a boss that is kind. I feel what I'm saying. Let people be able to feel your kindness. There's nothing you gain by creating a toxic workspace. Because I'm trying to be firm. If you have that kindness, you know, if you're an employee, for instance, be a kind employee. Be a kind employee. There is a way you work with your boss and you are so kind to everybody around and to the person. Even when you are done with that company, they can recommend you to another place. There are employees that work without any kindness. No, they don't care about the organization. And that kind of employee will be noticed. Amen. Something goes wrong in the company. You know you can fix it, but which one is your own? You just generally just pack it and run away. You just don't care. Kindness makes a relationship thrive. Why do women enjoy gifts? It's an extension, it's a show of kindness. Why do men enjoy gifts? They're just showing them that you are kind. You are kind. And it can show in everything. It can show in everything. So be a kind person. Go the extra mile to show people that you care and that you are kind. Empathy, compassion must not be lacking. Are you still here? Are we still here? Because of our time, next virtuous quality is forgiveness. I won't say much about this, but I should actually say much about it. Because this particular one can crumble a relationship to the last. Any friendship, relationship, or anything where there is no forgiveness, where if I do things to you, because the thing about relationship is I must do something to you. You know what I said? I must do something to you. Now, any relationship where if I do something to you, you cannot forgive easily and let it go. That relationship will hit the rock very soon. You see this relationship I have with you guys, pastor, member, anybody that has been here for 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, it's been a movement of anger, forgiveness. It's direct relationship. You get angry, you forgive. I get angry, I forgive. That's how the movement is. Marriage that has lasted for 10 years is like that. You get angry, you forgive. You get angry. If you find it hard to forgive, you will crash your relationship very soon. That's why, for real, I tell you, When people act, it's not a question of what people did to them. It's about how they are. What did people do to you that is taking you forever to let go of? Are you following me? And so, it's not about what the person did to you. Look at what I'm trying to say. If Mr. A hurt you and you didn't forgive the person, you left him and you went. Mr. B hurt you, you moved on. You didn't forgive them. Now, you are developing a culture of unforgiveness. Whenever you meet whoever you think is important to you, it's a matter of time, something will still happen. And you will still not forgive the person. Because whether you like it or not, people are going to hurt you. And must learn to easily forgive. Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's why you see, I pastor with the mindset of forgiveness. I pastor carrying it in my mind that anybody that is here, no matter how they're singing, I love you, sir, I will never hurt you, that is a matter of time, they will. Not because they're wicked, but because they're humans. So even if you won't continue with a relationship, make sure you let go of every hurt and every unforgiveness. Make sure you thoroughly forgive. If not, that thing is waiting for your next relationship. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Do you know there are husbands living with their wives, wives with their husbands, they are still together. But the wife is angry with the husband because of something that happened 2 years ago. They are living together. But that just is like sitting on a time bomb that will explode very soon. Amen. I have a very perfect relationship with my wife. And by perfect, I do not mean I don't ever annoy her. Of course, I'm human. And I'm Pastor Henry. Pastor Henry annoys people. Are you aware? You don't know. Okay, now you know. Now I get people angry. Have I ever gotten you angry? Huh? If I've not gotten you angry before, it's a matter of time. Wait for it. It's coming. Though it are, yes. Wait for it. He says, sir, so you deliberately go about annoying people. I'm a human being. You annoy people too. Do you know how many times you've annoyed me and I just swallowed it? But the perfect relationship is not because I've never annoyed her, but because you have to master forgiveness and get better at it. Now, one of the things that shows you're getting better with forgiveness is that it takes you shorter time to forgive today than it did last year. Who is following me this evening? It's taking you a shorter time. Before, if you quarrel with your friend, 3 days, you guys have not spoken. But now, show that you are getting better, because when you quarrel with your friend now, in 24 hours, you guys are fine. It should reduce to 8 hours, 6 hours, 3 hours. Fix issues faster. When issues stay longer than they should, they begin to complicate. I've met 2 people having issues. No, not 2 people. Many people having issues when they come to my office. And I start asking them, what's the problem? When they don't talk, you find out they're saying many things, but they're saying nothing. You know what the problem? Something has happened for long, and they left it. Other things began to compile, and pile up, and pile up. And like I always tell people, when things pile up like that, when you want to address it, you're no longer addressing the issue. You're addressing the people. And that's where there's a problem. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Example I use all the time. If what can a wife do to a husband now? Huh? Something not too serious in the house. An example? Huh? Talk. Too much salt in the food. No, if a wife has too much salt, she's not anything to you. Did she cook the food for you alone? Okay, talking back at the man. Let's use that. You are talking, and wife responds. Blah, 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 blah. Ah. I tell you what you're going to do. When that whole saga is over, please calm down and address that matter. And settle it and forgive her. If you don't address it and forgive her, she'll talk about it today, you keep quiet. She'll do it tomorrow. She'll do it next week. by the day you finally address that matter. You're no longer addressing the matter, addressing her. You always talk back at me. You are an arrogant person. You are, I feel like I'm talking about. It's no longer about what you say. So how do I talk back to you? The other day, 1966, you did it. 1928, you did it. So it's now, you're trying to now say this is who you are. So we're no longer addressing what the person did. We're addressing who the person is. Or who you're trying to say the person is. I get the point. Wife did not cook for the husband. And for whatever reason, the man swallows it's fine. But it's paining him. It happens again and again, again and again, again and again. Then one day, he wakes up. Say, do you ever cook for me? I get the point. We are now addressing the person. You don't ever cook. The woman said, me. Yesterday, I even said, you. You cook when it's okay for you. You cook when you can. I'm not your priority in this house. We are dealing with issues. Now, no longer issue. I'm dealing with the person. You don't ever look at me. That's it. You just do what you want to do. You see, you did not handle the issue when it came up. So learn to forgive and let go of issues very quickly. If not, it will mess up your relationship. It will mess up everything. That's why I say, Pastor, if you are doing anything to me, if I want to address it, I will address it immediately and let you go. If I don't want to address it, I will leave it alone, but I will not hold it against you. But I don't even know how you guys hold things against people and you're smiling at them. Sometimes you finish talking about people and you meet them and say, Pastor, good evening. Don't greet me. Keep your greeting. It's better you keep it to yourself. You can't be in bitterness. You can't have that culture of bitterness and you expect that any relationship will work. And the problem is this. People who don't easily forgive expect that you easily forgive them. So give what you want to have. You have people that say, oh, sir, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You see that story, that parable Jesus told? Someone owed someone about 100 naira. And he went and pleaded. And the guy he was owing forgave him. And then, another person was owing him 20 naira. And he refused to forgive. He locked up the person. Why would you want what you cannot give? And some of you that this is a very terrible attitude. Some of you who feel you deserve forgiveness because as far as you are concerned, there is nothing that bad you are doing to people. You see that thing? It's arrogance and pride. You are as annoying as your partner is. They are not just talking about it because they are just learning to let it go. Are you following me this evening? You are as annoying as your partner. The fact that they don't talk about the letting go doesn't make you any better. So if you remember that you are as annoying too, it will be easy for you to forgive. Address issues, talk about it, but at the end of the whole day, let it go. So how do I know forgiving someone? There are many ways. But I give a very simple test. If you remember that incident and what the person did, it does no longer hurt you the way it used to hurt you before. You forgive him. If you still remember the incident and it's still preparing you in your heart, there is still something to be done. Amen. Am I talking to you this evening? So you now begin to pray. You now begin to confess the word. You now begin to take action because you really have to get that stuff off your life. If you forgive people, you are better. So I'm not asking you to forgive. I'm saying be a forgiving person. Let it be part of you. Let your spouse, your friends, your parents know that if by chance they offend you, they are sure you can forgive them and not bring it up again. Not the way you forgive and it is national anthem every day. You've not forgiven, no. You've not. Somebody say, can you really forgive and forget? Well, forgive and forget doesn't mean forgive and don't ever remember the thing happened. You're a human being, it will come to your mind. But forgive and forget means you forgive and then all the pain, you forget them. You no longer feel the pain. You no longer feel whatever. If people can even laugh about it. As someone annoyed you and you have to forgive the person, both of you can talk about the issue and laugh. Has that happened to you? If you don't ever get there, there's a problem. Amen. Say, I walk in love. Shout it. Shout it. Say, I forgive people. So you want to get married, but you don't want to forgive. You're not ready for marriage. You want to have a friend. You know, that's why some of you, you don't have any friend in your life that has lasted for 8 years. You don't have any friend in your life that's lasted for long. There's no relationship in your life that's lasted. You've changed church 5 times. And all of them because you're angry. And all of them, those people are at fault. It's never you. And all of them, you have very pathetic stories that when you tell, everybody pities you. Something is wrong with you. Everybody cannot be hurting you. Let us go to that church and carry out a survey. You find out that the people you hurt, they are even more than people that hurt you. Are you following me, friends? Forgiveness. It's another virtue you cultivate. Forgiveness. Easy to forgive. Next virtue, patience. Patience. It's also part of the fruit of the Spirit. You must have to be patient with people. It still goes back to forgiveness, but this one is more about tolerance. Be patient with people. Be patient with people. People are going to come around, but it may take some time. If you want friendships that last, you must be patient with people. You have a child who is misbehaving. You are trusting that the child will change. Your child will come around, but be patient with them. Are you following me, friends? Be patient with them. And this is one of the greatest virtues you need if God is going to use you in the ministry. Patience with people. Because people will be people and they will take time to change. Jesus spent 3.5 years with the disciples telling them almost every time that he will die and rise again. And yet when he died and they said he rose again, Thomas said it's not possible. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus said, that, you don't see what he told? He said, oh fools and slow of heart to believe. I've been telling you guys this thing. The prophets told you guys in the Old Testament. How come people don't believe it? Thomas said, he said, unless I put my ear which rise from the dead. Imagine you are Jesus. After that many years of investing in people's life and teaching them this, well, you now think they've gotten it. If you ever taught children, you know what I'm talking about. You have finished teaching children to count ABC. And you tell them, they will count it very well. Then the next day, you say, count it, read, recite ABCD. That's just looking at you. If you don't have patience, you can't be with kids. And can I tell you, all of us need some level of patience. Be patient with your friends. Be patient with your pastor. Be patient with your pastor because your pastor is growing. As my child, you think I am spiritually, I am still growing. Be patient with your members. Be patient with your friends. You're a team lead. Be patient with the people you are leading. They will still miss it once in a while. Be patient with them. Impatience with people will crumble your relationships quickly. It will. Husbands, be patient with your wife. Wives, be patient. You know the problem we have in relationships? People enter relationships hoping to change people. Hear what I'm going to say. You are not in a relationship to actually change those people. Except it's a pastor-member relationship. You get the point? The pastor is your life to change you. But when you want to get married, the aim is not to change your wife. Now, are there things that you don't like that you can mention? Yes. Do you expect that will be changed? Yes. But don't think it will happen even in 3 months. You must learn to be patient. Are you what I'm talking about? Let me give an example. The popular issue that people normally quarrel with. Of course, I don't even know why it's a problem. These flimsy thing, things like you're pressing toothpaste from the middle. You hear all those kind of things. And you're pressing from the back. So how many of you can manage? How do you press your toothpaste? From down or from middle? Like some press from anywhere. How many of you have a problem with people who press from anywhere? You have an issue with people that press from anywhere? Now let me say this to you. The guy that is pressing from anywhere has been pressing from anywhere 28 years before he met you. Consistently, repetitively, daily, he presses from anywhere. If he brushes 2 times in a day, he presses from anywhere 2 times in a day. In a year, if he brushes 2 times in a year, he presses from anywhere for 730. Yes. Who got it? So in a year, if brushes that you did that particular act that is evil to you 730 times. In 10 years, he did it 7,300 times. Are you still here? In 20 years, 14,000 of practicing consistently, repetitively, the same thing. Now, add 8 years, you now marry him. You think that because you sit down and explain to him, this doesn't make sense, it's not going to change. Now, if it will take some time. You have to be patient. That's why I normally tell people, don't marry someone you are hoping to change. It's a very foolish thing. Because while it's possible that he may change, nobody changes in 2 weeks. All this I've changed is a lie. I've changed is what you don't want to apologize. Say amen. I'm sorry, I promise you, I will not do it again. Story. I'm working on it. It's a lie. So you must be patient with people. Definitely they may change, but it will take some time. Most changes that do not take time like that are pseudo changes. They're not real. Because you've compelled the person, maybe out of fear, the person is now trying to do things to please you. But that's not real. It will still expose. It will still be exposed. So you've shouted and shouted, complained, nagged and nagged. The person has just said, oh, fine. He said, I'm just adjusting so that you'll be fine. How you know that he has not changed? Any day not around. He will press what he will press. You come back. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean you should not want to change. It means, even as your trust, expect your partner will change, please be patient with them. And you partner, you friend, be working on yourself. I'm your pastor, for instance. I expect that you will change and you get better. I am patient with you, but you must cooperate. Why am I being patient? Now, there is no relationship that will last if your patience runs out very quickly. That relationship will not last. So be patient. Amen. I said amen. So you notice if you read 1 Peter chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5, it talked about patience. It said add to yourself. You know, I did a teaching on that LMP last year. 2 Peter chapter 1, rather. Verse 5. Add to yourself. He mentioned patience. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Verse 6. Mentioned virtue. Mentioned, add to your knowledge temperance. Add to temperance patience. So patience you add to yourself. So be patient. Be patient with your employee or guy boss. Be patient. They will come around. Be patient. Amen. I said amen. Should I continue? Are you learning something? So this is the kind of message that when you finish, you are looking at the list and looking at your life. Because it's not about complaining. Now, if I ask you, you know the foolish thing? If I ask you, why did your last relationship end? Everything is about the person. What did you do wrong? Say, Pastor, what you were preaching today, you are just describing my ex. He's not patient. He doesn't forgive. He's not kind. Now, that's a wrong way to listen to message. You see this? Tell them. It's a wrong way to listen to message. I'm not telling them. I'm telling you. What did you do wrong? It's not to throw you into guilt, but at least so that you can work on something. Amen. Again, patience, then respect. 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 Every friendship that lacks respect will not last. Nobody likes to be insulted. Nobody likes to be disrespected. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, Peter writing, 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, he said, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. He said, honor all men. So everybody in your life deserves some level of honor, some level of respect at least. I can't call people who don't respect people. Now, this is not that they are bowing down to me, no. Marriages should have respect. For instance, one thing, you must respect people's boundaries. I get what I'm saying? Respect their boundaries. Everybody, no matter how close you are to people, they have their boundaries. They have their boundaries. Respect their boundaries. Amen. Can I give some? What wild example can I use now? Okay? Because I have an only sister, and then she's married. I'm married to someone that is even a son to me in the ministry. Doesn't mean I can walk into their house and go straight to their bedroom. Where are these people, though? That's disrespect on them. There are boundaries. A bunch of you don't know how to be. So you are too free. That's disrespect. People have their boundaries. There are conversations you cannot contribute. Because not everything is at your level to say. Shout them at somebody. So you must respect people. Have honor for everybody. Have honor for everybody. Amen. You know, there's a way even leaders can dishonor and disrespect people that are following them. Huh? Imagine a son of mine is a lead pastor, and then I go to his church to preach. People are not saying it's wrong with this, but I'm not angry if it happens to me. I'm not angry, but I'm just saying. I carry mic and say, you know, your pastor used to be my boy. I remember those days used to run around and follow me everywhere. You know, those days, it was even hot tempered. Now, that is in front of his congregation. That's a disrespect to his calling. I get what I'm saying? Even though, of course, every true son will not pick offense. Are you following me, friends? But it's disrespect. So, even in your marriage, you respect your spouse. Respect your husband. Respect your wife. Respect your wife. You can't be married to a woman and you're shouting at her in the public. Before everybody. Even before your children. That's a disrespect to her. Amen. You used to give your wife bombastic side eye. Before everybody. Just look at, you know that kind of side eye? That kind of eye that they look you. Everybody around knows that correct you about something. You can't do that to your wife. Proper respect. You can't do that to your husband. You can't do that to your friends. That's why you talk to your friends in the public. That's why you talk to your neighbors in the public. You see friends? That's the way you talk to them in the public. Everybody feels offended when they feel disrespected. Everybody. So you want any relationship to last, please respect people. Because if you keep disrespecting people, sometimes stepping on their ego, one day they will react. And if they react, that relationship has ended. You know, do you have friends that when you are with people that respect you, you don't like them coming there because they're going to do something that will make you look small? That's what I'm saying. Now, let me teach you something. When you are with friends, never try to make anybody look small. Amen. The son of mine is running the company, and then he's with his employees, and all of them are saying, okay, sir. Of course, if I come there, he's going to greet me. But I can now come there and say, you! Before all of them. Say, I told you to do opening prayer. I told you to clean church. You did not clean church. I am not here giving orders. Don't worry, meet me in church. No. That's not how to talk. You must respect. I believe in respecting boundaries. Let me even say some things that may not connect what I'm saying, but they connect to it in many ways. Do you know that one of the ways to respect your friends when you go to respect people when you go to their houses, I've said this many times, is to look around their house and observe the order in the house and obey it. I get the point. You can't go to a married woman's house and walk carelessly into her kitchen. That's a disrespect to her. And she may not tell you, but you may not come again. Are you following me? When you come to the house, don't you know that in every house there are reserved seats? Have you not observed? They don't write reserved on it, but it's reserved. Amen. There are reserved plates. There are reserved spots. Let me tell how I behave. No matter how free you ask me to feel. For some of you, they say feel free. You can carry food from the kitchen. That's not feel free. Feel free, say thank you, sir. Say to the kitchen. Mm-mm. Feel at home. Mm-mm. Feel at home, you don't be touching everything. Somebody say feel at home. Ghost, you are not. I don't know how close you are to them. When the person will come out from the room, you've scattered everywhere. You are checking this CD. Play this song. I don't like this song. What? You are at home. You go to get you carry food. No. That's not feeling at home. One of the things I do is, if you give me this liberty you are around you, I do not take this full length. I stop here. That's how I behave. There is no place I go to that I walk into place anyhow, no matter where. I'd rather just stay somewhere and they say, are you come? Come up. Feel at home is not go and take meat from the pot. So what are you doing? I'm at home. You know, when you do that, they will remind you that they didn't say this in your heart. They say you should feel. It's just a feeling. So they will not tell you that your feeling is not real. Amen. And there are some things that we do. We don't respect people. I've said it many, many times. You see, if I was your friend growing up and I see you, whatever you are now, I saw someone recently, and when I knew him, he came around our ministry a few times, you know, to get blessed. But then he was a student. I saw him recently. He was not a doctor. And I said, Doc, how are you? I've never called him Doc in my life. I called him by his first name. Because he used to come around to live from us. I said, Doc, how are you? Because he's now a doctor. It's a way to respect who he is now. I get what I'm saying. Normalize it. You're not trying to make people look small. Respect people, respect your friends, respect their boundaries, respect whatever. Respect what they respect. If they put their boundaries, don't cross the boundaries. Don't cross the boundaries. And respect, they say, is... So don't ask and demand respect when you don't give it. Don't ask for it when you don't give it. Before we got a permanent church venue, where we do most of our meetings, people here will tell you, sometimes we go to churches to use their church venue to hold meetings, and then they give us those church venues. Now, no matter how free they say we should feel, I don't sit on the pastor's seat. All those seats that arrange on ministers, I don't sit there. Ask anybody. That's me. I don't do it. They gave us their venue, but that seat is sacred to their pastor. I can't sit there. It's a way of respect. I don't even know who the pastor is. That's respect. Are you still here? I said, are we still here? So respect their boundaries. Respect their choices. Except their choices are against God's word. Clearly against God's word. Respect their choices. People can be who they want to. People can decide to believe what they want to believe. Respect their choices. It is their choice. It's their choice. You look at something like Ruth, Naomi, and Orpah. When their husband had died, Naomi did not force them to say, because you guys are married to my son, you must go with me. He make your choice. Go back if you want to go back. It's a wolf. Say, I respect your opinion. Whatever you want to do, it's fine. So when Orpah said she was going back, she let her. When Ruth said, I must follow you, she let him. That's respect. Are you following me? So respect there. You must have, there must be respect. Again, there must be confidentiality. I think everybody will agree with this one. Nobody wants to keep a friend who is a parrot, who doesn't know what not to say, who doesn't know what to, when to keep quiet, parroting up and down. Amen. Have you ever told somebody something in secret or in confidence and the person, you heard it from elsewhere? Have you? How do you feel? Has it ever happened to you? Let me see if it has ever happened to you. Let me see. You guys have good people in your life. You never, nobody has ever divulged your secret. You guys on this table. You people are blessed. I'm not just as blessed as you people. I'm not as blessed as you people. Has someone ever divulged your secret? Something very personal to you? Let me see your hand. Anybody? Wave it again. Thank God. Where do you used to meet those kind of friends? In church? Okay. Let me teach you something. That will help you. Don't be careless with your personal information. Because like I told the ladies, even your boo. Get a boo. Your best friend has a best friend. I was telling you guys, I was in a meeting and they say, write the name of your best friend. And somebody wrote, people wrote people that don't write them. If somebody wrote me as his best friend and I wrote another person as my best friend, that experience changed my life. You know what he told me? This best friend thing, leave it. It takes time to develop. How am I your best friend in 2 years? I can't be your best friend in 2 years. Best friend is a big word. That's by the way. But you see, no matter whether you're the best friend or anything, please, confidentiality is a virtue you must develop. When people tell you things, others should not hear it. Others should not hear it. It's one of the major code of conduct of a pastor. Of the major codes. People cannot walk into your office and pour their heart out to you. And then, let me tell you, the only time I can discuss somebody's problem with anybody is if we are trying to find a solution. Now that's my code. If I try, it's just like you tell me you're having headache and I call a doctor and I'm telling the doctor, someone says she's having headache. What do you think we can do? I'm trying to find a solution. That's not, I know I'm talking about. But if somebody tells you this happened, you now go say, oh, do you know that? Don't tell anybody. You see, this don't tell anybody thing, it never works. You know, anytime people say don't tell anybody, there's always one person that you feel that if you tell, the person will not tell another person. Right? And that person you're telling, there's another person she feels. So before you know, we have an open secret. Everybody knows it, but nobody's talking about it. So it's a secret, but it's in the open. Are you following me, friends? Are we still here? Do you want to shout a big amen? So this is not looking like a Skills Connect message. You used to make us laugh. No, this one, you are going to learn. Confidentiality. Keep it to yourself. There are things my pastor used to tell us. He said, you see these gray hairs? It's not because I'm old. It's because there are secrets people have told me that I'm going to carry to my grave. There are things that must die with you. The kind of things people tell me, and I can tell you sincerely, there are information that if I open my mouth to say today, people will go to jail. But I have it. Real life. I have it. If I say, there are many things that if I open my mouth and talk, they will go to jail without trial, straight to jail. But I know it. And my mouth must be sealed. Amen.
Why are some of you happy? You think your information is part of it?
There are things you just know. You keep them. That is one of the ways to even show God that he can trust you with people's life. It's one of the ways to show God that he can trust you with people's life. Any information you have by virtue of privilege, please don't play with it. I mean, things you got to know because you are privileged to be close. I have talked about this one many, many times. If you have a friend you are very close to, and because you are close to the person, you are the first to find out that he or she is sick. Not a person should hear it. Yeah, even if it's a good news, you find out the friend of yours is pregnant. She hasn't told anybody. They are telling people. Not telling anybody. Not telling anybody. She's pregnant. Even if it's a good news, who asked you to talk? For real. Who asked you to talk? Amen. One of our people here, many years ago, when they lost their dad, they had just called me to tell me that person has lost their dad. And I was still trying to find a way, you know, they were trying to find a way to convince, you know, them to come back from where they are without, you know, how they pass death information and all of that. And someone had gone to the WhatsApp group where all of them were and posted RIP. A boy. Not a man, a boy. If it was in the olden days, he should be sold to slavery. Because that's, don't you know how to keep personal? Let me tell you, if your friend gives birth and does not post their baby picture, but sends it to you personally, don't post it. Don't post it. Do you understand points? Don't even just post the leg or the hair. Some people are not asking you, who now? Tell us now. And they can now put two and two together and find, why are you like that? Anything that is secret should be kept secret. Should be kept secret. Now tomorrow we can trust you with more information. There are things you will get to know by virtue of relationship. Relationship. The privilege of access. One of the major ways to abuse access is to divulge secrets. To divulge personal information. It's one of the major ways you abuse access. Are you following me? Not even talk of when what has been done is something wrong. The Bible tells us, for instance, that love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers. Now, hear this. Excuse me. Love covers a multitude of sin. Look at this scripture. In 1 Peter 4 verse 8. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? 1 Peter 4 verse 8. Let's read together, everybody. Come on, add your voice to this. Let's go. Charity shall cover the multitude of sin. So charity, love covers sin. Now, when we say love covers sin, now, it doesn't mean that love denies sin. Because if you have a friend that you do something wrong and he doesn't tell you did something wrong, that's not a true friend. So love doesn't deny sin. Amen? Love does not also condone sin. But hear this, love does not go around blabbing about it. Think what I said? Love doesn't deny sin, doesn't condone sin, but doesn't go up everywhere talking about it. It doesn't do that. Tell everybody, do you know that? Mm-mm. Hallelujah. Love. Amen. One of the ways you cover sin is that you are actually trying to convert the person. You are trying to help the person get better, but it should be covered. Have you not heard David lament, telling not in God? There are things that happen to people that shouldn't be heard from another person. You know it, protect it, but help the person in the process. Nobody ordained you to be a tale bearer. to spread information. Whether true or false. You know, you are in the social media generation where everybody wants to be the first person to break the news. Have you observed? If anything happens, people want to be the first. They will now post and write, you heard it here first. Unverified information. I don't know if it is verified. How did you get to know? For you to get to know first, you really got to know first, it means there's a level of access you have to those people. That's how you got to know first. So how come everybody knows about it? You should be arrested. And you post it so they can have views and followers. These days, someone loses a loved one. We won't give them time to mourn. That's a very sensitive point in people's life. We're all over the place talking about it. Why? Why are you talking about it? There are methods I don't believe in doing. But let's not go there. Why are you talking about it? If they come and announce it themselves to everybody, it's a different case. But it's still a private information. Please keep it private. Keep it private. Amen. Of course, ministers that work with me know this is one of the major things that will keep you very close in my circle. If you're in my circle, you will hear many things. If, for instance, we are ministers, there are things that can happen in church. And I call the pastors and I discuss it with them. I feel what I'm saying. That is one of the job of a pastor. You talk to them about it because there are decisions that cannot be reached by the lead pastor alone. I have to clarify that. Are you following me this evening? There are things that cannot, maybe somebody does something and we're thinking of what to do. There are decisions that cannot be reached by myself alone. So you have to mention it to stakeholders and pastors who stand in that position. But they know. If that information leaves that circle, somebody will lose the job. Yes. You know, I tested my pastors last year. Early this year. In January, I told them I was going to get married. I told them who I was going to get married to. Was that January? January. Was it last year? 1st January. Yeah. And I told them, I'm going to announce it in February. But I don't want to hear it from anybody. Now, actually, my marriage is not a secret. I wasn't planning to keep it a secret. That thing was big training for them. To know if you can have an information and keep it. Now, if they had told anybody, I wouldn't have been angry. Okay? I'm not hiding whatever. I wasn't hiding anything. Everyone was eventually going to know. But I said, let me just try these guys. Because those are points to prove that you're a mature person. If someone decides to do a private wedding where nobody will know, and they invite you, when you go privately, go home privately. Don't go and post the hashtag on Facebook. What are you trying to do? That's why you cannot be a friend that can be trusted. Tomorrow you'll carry it into your marriage. Something your wife has told you in confidence. One day you'll be talking with your brothers. Family meeting. Bah! He leaves your mouth. Mumu. Tomorrow, your family has no respect for your wife. And you're complaining. You said too much. They know too much. They know more than they should know. And it was all because of how loose your tongue is. If I hear you say amen. They know too much. They know too much. You know, I don't encourage being secretive, but I encourage saying the right things to the right people. So you can be around me and things are happening around me, and you will not know nothing. Of course, you will not know nothing. And God punish you if you eventually get to find out, and someone finds out through you. The problem with me is, sometimes I don't confront such matters. I will not even be angry with you. That's why I told you some minutes ago. Sometimes when you're lying to people, they know about it, but are just quiet. Most of them, I won't confront it. I won't even say anything about it. I'll just keep quiet. But just know that I've marked you. That is how close you will not come again. Now, I'm not angry with you. I'm not angry at all. I'm not forgiving you, but as that close, I won't let you come. He says, sir, why are you like that? You should also learn to protect yourself. Because you are single now, or you are newly married, you bring people around you, they spread false information, say things about you that are personal to you. Now, it's just you that is affected. Tomorrow, you're going to have children that are affected by that. What is it's your kids that are talking about like that. And children may never heal from these things. So there's also a way to protect yourself and protect your family. Somebody comes around you and it's a loose talker like that. You should know that in the future, if you allow the person to come into your home, everything about your kids will be known outside. And there might be small things, but they matter. For instance, one of your children does not understand mathematics easily. Five years, I tried to coach the person. And the guy, somebody enters your house and finds out that, okay, he is dull in mathematics. And before you know, every child in the children's church knows that your child is dull in mathematics. Say, hey, you don't know maths. That alone is enough to damage a child. Are you following me this evening? So, you must, please, do you remember LMP last year? You must learn to bridle your tongue. Keep it together. Any kind of friendship, there must be secrecy. There must be confidentiality. That's one thing that keeps that friendship going. That keeps it going. Three more things that we close. Have you been blessed? To go home and you check. And some of you might need to apologize to people. Because sometimes there are things you've said that people's secrets you've shared, they know you've revealed them, but they will not tell you. I get the point. They will not tell you. Those that they've kept you at a place. At the end of the day, you determine your place in people's life over time. Over time. Amen. Sometimes I hear some things about some political leaders. Sometimes people are talking about that. First question I ask myself is, how did people get to know about this? It means there is a Judas in his camp. I get what I'm saying? There's a Judas in his camp. You hear things like, do you know that our governor and the wife had a heated argument? He even slapped her. Now, I'm not talking about whether the slap is good or bad. The question is, did the man talk about it? No. Did the woman talk about it? No. How come people know about it? There is someone there who cannot keep his mouth shut. And they better fish that person out and throw him out. If not, it will be more sensitive information. Are you here? Three more things I will close. Then I will talk about self-control. I won't say much about that. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Especially over your emotions. Self-control over your emotions, over your anger. If you have anger issues, you will crash your relationship. Anything that makes you to be too angry and you don't mind what you say, and after saying it, you come back to say, I'm sorry, I was angry. That's nonsense. Work on your anger, you should work on your temper. Because the thing about, I'm sorry, I was angry. You were angry, quite alright. We accept that you were angry. But you know, the words that have come out cannot go back. The fact that you are angry, you call that person an idiot. It's still ringing in his head. Idiot. Idiot. So, the fact that you say you are angry, and I can tell you, a lot of people believe that people say what they really mean when they are angry. Now, if you have uncontrolled temper, let God help you. And I don't have time to go into how you can deal with it. But basically, it's by staying on God's word and deliberately practicing. Let God help you. Let God help you. Amen. When I was in school, I think when my third year, I used to have this friend. I don't know that we're in a relationship or we are not. I think we are. Are we? We're doing something, Sha. And one of those days, because we're actually very close. So if you go to the relationship, you'll not be wrong. You know, there are things you tell yourself, there are nothing between us. But you know the truth. Hello? Frown your face all you can. You know the truth. There's nothing between us. But you guys are talking every day. 10 p.m., 11 p.m., but we're just friends. How can you guys be just friends? But when you see that person talking with another person, you get angry. Ah. Let's all be sincere to us. Everybody, lie not one to another. We are just friends, and yet if the person takes another call, you start acting up. You say, no, I'm not saying you should not talk to anybody once. It's your business now. Is it not your life? Am I disturbing you? You are angry. So I had this friend. Oh. Somebody is saying, Pastor, continue saying that you are saying. You are not just friends. And tell yourself the truth. So what do I do about it? Define, I don't need a digression now, define friendships. Define it. Know what you are doing. If you are just catching cruise, say, see, I'm catching cruise. If we are just friends, tell the person, we are just friends. And once you say we are just friends, don't demand the privileges that come with special relationships. You can't look at a lady or a guy and say we are just friends, and you are angry that I did not call you. Don't be angry, I will not call you. We are just... Don't demand the privileges that come. He said, so you went out and they didn't even tell me. Really? Just friends. Don't tell each other where they're going to. Just friends. But some of you are trying to claim you are demanding friendship, but you are demanding more. You are just scared of commitment. May God deliver you. Amen. Now, I said the amen. First, if you don't say amen, I pray this on your behalf. May God deliver you. Amen. Say amen. So this, my friend, we are just friends. Do you understand now? Just friends. But then, in my mind, I knew there was more. So that day, she was coming. She went to write the exam. Tell you how just friends we were. She went to write the exam, and she finished and called me and said, I'm done. And I said, okay. And I was around the house, so we went to the junction to go and pick her up with my friends. But we were just... You know what I'm saying? So I went to pick her up, and then, real life story, I was just walking down, and I was saying, how was the exam? She said, yeah, it's cool. I was with my friends. Emphasis on I was with my friends. And how was the exam? Fine. Next thing, she said, that was I even say, she said, I'm hungry. I said, okay. So, what do you want to eat? Now, you know the story, Abby? Have I told you before? What do you want to eat? The next thing, she let out a very long hiss. You know this place? I don't know, I'm not a lady. That can go from here. And then did that. Now, I'm talking about temper control. And she walked out. I was trying to understand what was happening. Come now. So, I have composure. I'm not Nigerian film. All this come back. You go, yeah, I know it's that, and I just kept quiet. So my friend said, my guy said, what happened? I said, don't worry, she just left for something. And then after everything, I didn't call her. No, I'm not like that. I didn't call her. After that, she called. I'm sorry. I said, what did I do wrong? See, if I ask you what that I'm hungry, you don't ask me what I want to eat. You give me money, make and buy it. You're acting like you don't trust that I will use it. Why do you need to know what I will do with the money before you give me to go and buy it? Now, I don't understand whether she was right or wrong, actually. But I now told her, wait. Everybody have their own belief system. It's their business. But I now, wait now. Don't worry, I did not marry her. I'm married. So don't worry. So I now said, even if I was wrong, in front of my friends, emoji like me, tongue-talking man of God, JCB president, the bishop of the entire school, I'm serious, that's how I was. Papa! You know, for real now, that's lack of respect. You want that on me? I say you don't know anything. He said, I'm sorry. I said, the question is not. Now, I want to say to you, when you are with your friends, you are with a friend, and you are angry, there is this place for draining in your emotions. You and your partner, you guys are in church, and your friend, your wife or whatever, does something to you. Why should your neighbor know? At that point, why are you shouting? Inside church. Hold it in. Say amen. Hold it in. That self-control. It is to delay gratification. To delay it.
I feel what I'm saying.
Even though you sincerely want to shout, but you hold it in for the meantime. God will help you. Because it will destroy many things for you. It will. That's why you finish acting and you start asking yourself, am I the one that did this? Because you are shouting like a mad person. Sometimes I would have been, I've said this like 30 times now about my wife, and I'm saying it many times. You see, this woman here is a blessing. Yes. Big blessing. This person would have been complete if I didn't say this and I'm saying now. So she's a blessing. Thank you. Don't mention. But look at it now. I said it many times, no matter, you see, man or perfect lady, I don't even know if in the past 1 week there's something I've done wrong to her. Because she will never talk about it or act it. Because I'm in the midst of a meeting and I need to be in the best of sanity to be able to bless the church of God very well. It's not on Friday as you are going home in the car. I'm saying, what is it? He said, hey, you. Imagine we quarrel from Friday night into 2 a.m. in the morning and I arrive in church on Saturday morning. I'll preach with anger. I say, if don't listen, get out of this place. So, now, does it mean I cannot annoy her in that period? I can. So what do you now? What has she learned to do? And it started from when we were in courtship, actually. And I said it, not only did it start when we were in courtship, by the time we went to see my pastor in December, immediately we sat down. The first counsel said, you know, he's a man of God. He's a man of God. And he said, you don't always bring up issues because you're also there to protect the anointing of God upon his life. Yeah. But some of you know, if you do me now, I will tell you now. I will fight it now. Or even if I will not tell you, you will shall know. Same matter day. Yeah, now carrying this. Are you fine? Yes. One day I'll bring out a full session in Singles Connect to talk about silence treatment. Sisters, praise the Lord. Sisters, praise the Lord. Silence treatment. You are not saying anything, but you are speaking volumes. Your food is on the dining table. Are you okay? Yes, I'm cool. You know, men, I don't know how it works for you, but for me, I will sit down and start checking my life in the past 2 weeks. What have I done wrong? Does it happen to you? But our brothers that also give silent treatment to. And my kind of person, I have a problem with sleeping, with anger. I rarely do that. If I'm angry, there's an unresolved issue, I have a big problem. So once anybody gives silent treatment, most times I'm awake trying to figure out what the hell is happening. And some of those silent treaters will be sleeping. Now, those are the worst. They will just be sleeping while you are trying to figure out whatever. You wake them up and say, are you okay? You say, you are not sleeping. Because now wondering why you are still awake. What are you doing awake? We are all sleeping. But you are the one giving the silent treatment. God will help you. So when I say rein in your emotions, I'm saying there must be self-control. Not every time calls for acting up, behaving whatever. You know the secret? Where you can control your emotions. The day you will finally talk about that thing, you will not say it with the same words and the same intensity you would have used that first day if you are saying it three that time. Are you following me, friends? Not only will you not say it with that intensity, you will not... In fact, you might even find out with time that there was no point getting angry in the first place. If you can just give it some time. It's only salvation that will be plenty. Forgiveness will be plenty. What is once it does do you? Self-control. Second to the last thing, generosity. I think this one doesn't need much preaching. You cannot be a good friend, a good mentor, a good father, a good wife, a good husband, a good anything if you're not generous. All these parasitic minded human beings roaming around the world, thinking, looking for who to collect from, but they can't give to anybody. Generosity. You must be able to give something. Amen. And let me tell you, no matter what your love language is, you know, I was telling the women, was it the men? I was telling the men on Friday. Was it Thursday or Friday when I married my wife? No, when I caught sheep, you know, men can brag. So I told her, you know, I want you to know that I'm going to take care of you. And I don't need your money. I know you work hard, but just keep your money to yourself. God will provide for me, and I'll take care of you. You see all those things? It's romantic talk. So she now told me, why am I a monument? Which one is? I said, no, I can take care of you. Now, if sisters, even if your husband talks like that, he means what he's saying, but it can read sometimes. Let me tell you a little story. How I know that I will just play. See, all this, my love language is words of affirmation. Let me tell you. Everybody's love language is receiving gifts. The day they give you gifts, they have not given you a thoughtful gift. Then they give you a thoughtful gift. So recently, there is something we are planning to do. And normally, it's something that was going to cost, let's say about, just hundreds of thousands actually. Hundreds of thousands. And I know we're going to do that in September. So I'm actually, you know, I'm really setting my finance how it's going to be. So one day, recently, just last week or last week, so we were just talking, and then he said, you know, there's this one I kept. I said, yes, it's your savings now. He said, well, it's not really my savings. I kept it for that stuff, so don't bother about it. Oh, my Jesus, I can tell you, gift is your love language. I don't know when I start smiling like a goat. Now, see me that was bragging some months ago, don't worry about your, like, I'm here to take care of who? Generosity always makes relationship work. All this while you are talking, if they give you gift, they have not given you a thoughtful gift before, you will like it. And hear this, nobody is too broke to give. Leave all this what you are doing. It can be anything. You just have to be thoughtful. You know what giving gift means? It means you sat down one day and you are thinking of what to do to make me happy. That thoughtfulness alone, and not only in relationship or in marriage or what have you, even as friends. Every day you are doing birthday, people are buying things for you. When are you going to buy something for somebody on his or her birthday? I'm talking to you, students. He's complaining, no, we are students. When are you going to do something? And that's why relationships, all these friendships, they don't make much progress. Because once one person is giving and giving, he will get tired. So for real, what are you bringing to the table? Somebody and somebody replied, I am the table. Now, I am the chair. No, you are not the table, sir. Now, am I saying you must be rich? Now, there is no relationship where the both of them have equal money, 50-50. Yes. So, we should not expect equal contribution. But we should expect at least something. And even if you can't bring money, there are other things you can bring. Be generous. Generosity keeps in our marriage classes, I teach on finance and marriage. Finance in marriage. And one of the measures I emphasize is, you see, hear what I'm going to say. It is not the lack of money or the availability of it that spoils marriages. It is the attitude towards money. For instance, even if the both couples are earning 10 million naira and there is no generosity in that marriage will still crash. So it's not whether there is too much money or lack of money. It's about the attitude towards money. In that class, when you come to the class, I'll tell you, I'll give like 5 or 6 qualities that you must have towards money. Attitude you must have towards money if your marriage will work. One of them is I must be very generous. Something must go from you. That your friend that you've been talking about, what did you do for her last birthday? You know, in secondary school, especially boarders, they really practice generosity a lot. Is it boarders? Those people,
I wasn't a bother. I didn't understand it. They buy things, you know.
When I started mentoring a lot of secondary school students, they were in boarding school. I can't forget 2013 birthday. First of all, that day, I didn't even know it was my birthday. So, no, sincerely, I didn't know. It's not like now that I can't forget my birthday. Then I didn't know. So I'd gone back to school and all of that. In the evening, my mom called me because my phone was off throughout the day. Say, hey, this house, there are many gifts. People are sending gifts. That was when the likes of, I think you guys are still in school. Pastor Jovi them said, so gifts came from Shalom, gifts came from, and it's not like serious gifts. Some brought clock that they got, you know, those kind of things. But that's thoughtfulness. And before then, I'd never given anybody any birthday gift in my life. It's not like in my house, we don't used to do, it's not that we grew up, that said, just grow up and they born you today, happy birthday. My dad will make sure they sing for you in the morning. And that's all. But learn generosity. Nobody says no to a good gift. Nobody says no to a good gift. See, if you're a generous person, you are going, that every year, as you're counting your year, how did this year succeed? Ask yourself, what went from me to people I call my friends? What went from me? Some of you just want to take. There are people that, if they shit, forget, I know it's defecate, if they shit here, you can't touch it. Anything that belongs to them, even if they are shit that are not using, you cannot touch it. You're not a good friend. You're not a good friend. And those kind of people can beg and can feel entitled. Now, nobody touches your thing, but you feel entitled to have other people's things. Third Sunday of the month, you are doing give to your fellow saints. They will not see your money. But you want to be the fellow saint they will give to. You are not a saint. We are not giving to you. Be a generous person. Are you here? Now finally, loyalty. I'll close with that. Loyalty. It takes a loyal person to make friendships work. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. He said, every man, or most men rather, we proclaim everyone his own goodness. He said, but a faithful man who can find. Loyalty is scarce. Loyalty, you know, is to remain the same in your disposition towards people, in spite of them. You must stay loyal. We must stay loyal. You should be someone that can be trusted to stay true to your word, to stay committed to a relationship. I get to the point. To a friendship, no matter how long, there will be changing times and changing seasons, but you must stay loyal. There will be changing times and changing seasons, but you must stay loyal. Have friends, mentors in your circle that you stick to no matter what. That's what loyalty is. They will not be perfect, but you're a loyal person. Amen. David was a loyal man. Even when it was time to kill Saul, he didn't kill Saul because I was lying in that. Final scripture, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 15. Loyalty. Loyalty. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord, of course, he mentioned these two people. What did they do to him? They turned away from him. What was the situation here? You will later find out he was put in prison. So they were following him. They arrested him and put him in prison and they ran away. There are people who don't stay in difficult seasons. Mark those people who are not around when you are being scandalized. Those people who are not around when there is lack. And there are some of you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I just got that too. See, brother, listen. You see that your friend, that your girlfriend, that always, you guys always quarrel when money finishes your hand. And once money enters your hand, the friendship continues. That's not loyalty. End that friend relationship today.
you are dating a materialistic person. You are dating the weapon fashioned against you. That's what you are dating. And this one will prosper. So prosper. So these two guys, troubles came and they ran away. But look at what he now said. He said, Paul said, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for they oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my shame. Put up NLT. So they put Paul in prison. This particular family refused to be ashamed. There are some that become ashamed when their friends get into chains, when things go wrong, when things do not go well, when he's on the news for something bad, they become ashamed, they run away. When everything is fine, they come back again. No. Look at that again. Go back to verse 15. Let's read together. We read to verse 17. Like a mass choir, we close with that. Were you blessed? Let's go together. As you know, he said everyone. This is serious. So it means there are not many loyal people in this world. Even Phygellus and... Now, do you know, Paul said everyone. And then he singles out these two people. In other words, he really expected much from them. Ah, you know that things that will happen and you look at someone and say, even you. I get what I'm saying. He was like, so if everybody will do this, even you will do it. That kind of even you thing hurts more. Ah, even you. Like, even if everybody will say this about me, even you. Even if everybody will turn away, even you. If someone trusts you so much to the level of even you, please don't betray that trust. Stay loyal. Even Phygellus and Hermogenes. Obviously, Timothy knew these guys. And of course, Paul expected that Timothy will shout like, are you serious? Because he said, even these two guys. Now, see the next verse. Let's read together. May the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus and his family, because he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. Be that person. And you see, but the Lord shows special kindness. So there is special kindness for people who are loyal. Stay loyal to your church. Stay loyal to your marriage. Be loyal to your relationships. Be loyal to your friends. Things will not always be perfect, but be loyal. There will be imperfect seasons, but be loyal. Your friend will have times that their head will touch. We are talking about sincerity. There will be one or two times that your friend may lie to you. There are doubts that moment. But after the whole storm is over, be loyal. Are you what I'm talking about? See the next verse. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. Such loyal man. He searched everywhere until he found me. This was a man that was put in prison. Now, look at this. Now, look at the picture here before I close. When they say Paul was put in prison, don't think it was a hidden thing. Just like you put on Channel TV and you see your friend. Who is the friend I'm going to use now? Why call you Ozioma? Ozioma, who is your best friend? Okay, who is your closest friend? Okay, who is close to you? Just call anybody. A lady. Any minister. Angel. Because she called your name. So imagine you come on TV. Because you called and I'm going to use you. You come on TV. Channels TV. And you see where they display the angel's picture. This is what happened. And they're saying, this lady was caught with hard drugs, with guns, and she's been convicted. You get the point? And every channels, TV, nations, newspaper, Sun, everybody, the truth, the liars, bloggers is everywhere. And then Ozioma says, where is Angel? I want to go and see her. Because at that time, everybody will be running away. And then they ask her, what do you think about Angel? And you hear things like, well, I don't know many things they're saying, but I know that lady. That's loyalty. That's loyalty. A pastor told me this today. There was an issue that happened some time ago. He said a man of God came into his house. When it was happening, he told him, say, Pastor Peter, I may not know everything, but I know you. There are friends that you should know. You know what you know about them? One, you know they cannot commit that crime. Two, you know that even if they committed the crime, that's not who they are. So, you know, that is you hear about somebody say, I don't know if she did, but if she did it, then that is more. That's loyalty. You stand there with the person. Loyal people are very rare. In the whole of Asia, Paul talked about only one family, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That is the Asia they said in Acts 19, and everybody in the city of Asia has heard the word of God. So actually, Paul's ministry reached the entire Asia. But when he was arrested, everybody in Asia ran away. The people he got saved, only one family. Be that family. Be that friend that will stay. Be that friend that will stick. Be that friend that will stick. Bible says there are friends that stick closer than brothers. Be that person. Be the Mr. Right. I get to the point. Be that friend that will not run away when money finish. Don't be that friend that will run away when things are not moving well. When your friend has an extra year. I don't want to be associated with all these extra year people. You want to go with people that are doing their masters. Don't be that friend. Your friend made a mistake some time ago and had a child out of wedlock. And then you stop talking to the person. You ran away. Mr. Perfect. Don't worry. Your own is coming. I didn't say you have a child. I said something is coming. What people don't understand when they are not loyal is that there are many things that they've done in the past that we should have run away, but we stayed. We don't stay and stick because everything is fine. We stick because that's who we are. It's loyalty. You get the point? It's loyalty. The people you pastor in PG, sir, are they perfect people? No. Do you like all of them? Yes. Can you defend them? Yes. Have I gone to police station to build some of my people? Yes. Yes. And I'll go there and stand. When we come back to church, we'll settle it. But I won't run away. That is loyalty. That's not going to deny the person. Say, it's not my member. He said, no, he's not my member. He just comes around sometimes, but he's not my member. No. That's going to be that friend that will stick. If I come back, I may slap the hell out of you. I may brush you up. You may lie down under the table for a very long time. I get the point. But you have to stay loyal to people. People are not always right. Two things. One, there are scandals. Some things you hear about people are not even true. So if you're a loyal friend, one of the things you do when you hear this about people is to ask them. Any friend that believes anything about you without asking you, always believe that thing about you. You know what I said? Anybody that heard that you did something and agrees without talking to you, that's what she has always believed all the while. So two things, the things may not even be true. Number two, I would say three things, they may not be true. Number two, they may be true, but they are exaggerated truths. So you listen. Number three, they may be full truths. That is the case where you correct, where you say your mind. See, okay, I go tell you everything, you know, try for this matter. And you tell the person, go and make things right. And after all of that, you stick. There are friends that stick closer than brothers. Be that friend. Do you have any friend like that in this hall? Do you have any friend like that in this place? Please, if you have them, protect them. Rain will come. Sunshine will come. But guy, day or day. You know the problem? And I'll close with this. Many people are not wise. Friends are not easy to find. Sometimes you lose a friend and it will take you 27 years to make another one after 14 betrayals and 14 hurts. It's not easy to find friends. When you found one, protect one. But the most importantly, the message today is be Mr. Right. Be Mrs. Right. Were you blessed?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.